when this year 2010 ends, let us not forget that it is also the end of the first decade of the 21st century. And what a decade it was. We will remember it in various images and labels, 9/11 and the Twin Towers, Ondoy and Katrina, Bush and the Iraq invasion, Obama and the first African-American presidency. We will remember in our own country the scandals that befell on national leaders, Arabs sweating, JMA's Hello Garci, and many other things that colored this decade for us. I also like to look back on what was said early in the decade and proven dead wrong later. I remember former Vice President Dick Cheney of the United States saying about the Iraq invasion, quote, "We will, in fact, be greeted as liberators." Well, they are still trapped and very much hated in Iraq. In 2004, during the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, declared 2 years from now, spam will be solved. I still have plenty in my computer. Well, they all prove the short-sightedness of man. Pinapatunayan ng mga ito yung kaiklian, yung kakitira ng pananaw, pagtingin ng tao sa inaharap, that man is unable to see the future clearly and definitely not in an infallible way. But let me tell you, Christians have a way of weighing the past and anticipating the future that will never go wrong if we confess from our hearts that God is faithful. This is something that you and I can confess when we think of the past. This is something that you and I can be assured of when we anticipate the future, that God will ever be faithful. And this is what we're doing in this year-end meditations. We are trying to examine our lives. Isinusuri natin ang ating buhay. Tinatanong natin, nasaan na tayo ngayon? Sa ating karanasan ng Diyos? Sa ating pagsunod sa kanyang panawagan? Nasaan na tayo? May kinalaman sa mundong pumapalibot sa atin? Kung isipin natin tong taon na ito, siguro maraming bagay na mabubuti ang nangyari. Many good things perhaps have happened this year. But we ask, are we right with God? And are we obedient to His word? On the other hand, it may be that this year was full of bad things. But has God abandoned you? Has God abandoned us? So we are borrowing the words of a favorite hymn as an umbrella to describe what should be every Christian's confession concerning this year. This is not just words of the hymn. These are words taken directly from the scriptures as we saw last Sunday. Great is thy faithfulness. And every part of our series of messages will borrow a line from the hymn in order to guide our meditation and examination. Last week, we borrowed that line, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And based on our meditation from Lamentations, we drew the message that every day, and I hope you can say that every day of this year 2010, there have been evidences of God's faithfulness through His mercies to evoke faith. Sa bawat araw ng taong ito na matatapos ay nagpakita ng maraming ebidensya ang Diyos ng kanyang katapatan sa pamamagitan ng marami niyang kahabagan. At that is one way to weigh how it has been like this year. Well, today, I will borrow yet another line from the hymn. This time, the line is, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided." I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me. I have three related texts this afternoon, and you can see the obvious connection of these texts as we read them. First is Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, the text is verse 5, but let's begin verse 3 to verse 6. Joshua 1, 3 to 6. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Our second text is Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we'll read the first six verses. Psalm 118, verses 1 to 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And our last text, combining both passages we read, is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, we read both Old Testament and New Testament, and we can see that they used, particularly the New Testament, invoked from the Old Testament the very same words of promise to apply to believers in the New Testament. And so we need a caution whenever we try to compare Old Testament and New Testament. There is a difference in the situation of the people of God in the New Testament compared to the people of God in the Old Testament. May pagkakaiba yung bayan ng Diyos sa Bagong Tipan kaysa sa sitwasyon ng bayan ng Diyos sa Lumang Tipan. Sa Lumang Tipan, doon sa pangako kay Joshua, ang mangyayari doon ay digmaan. Kinailangan niya yung gayong pangako na ginamit ng sumulat sa mga taga-Hebreo para sa kanyang digmaang haharapin. Hindi digmaan ang ating hinaharap ngayon. Walang paggamit tayo ng sandata at lalabanan natin ang mga kaaway ng Diyos para sa lupain na dapat nating sakupin. Hindi ganyan ang ating sitwasyon ngayon sa Bagong Tipan. But nonetheless, the writer of Hebrews sees something permanent and perpetual as a principle that applies even to the people of God in the New Testament. May prinsipyo na patuloy, permanente, para sa mga tao ng Diyos kahit pa sa Bagong Tipan. And here, again, the word faithful comes to the fore. Unfortunately, our translations do not use the word faithful. It should have. Because the word in Hebrew, chesed, was repeated again and again in Psalm 118. And chesed in Hebrew literally means covenant love. And that is faithfulness. It is a love that is not emotional. It is a love that is based on his pledge. And he will be faithful in his love to his people. And now the writer of Hebrews combines the thought of the promise to Joshua. And in fact, that promise to Joshua was already stated to the patriarchs. It was stated to Jacob and to Moses. And now to Joshua. What was stated to the patriarchs and to Joshua, and what is stated in the Psalm 118, the writer of Hebrews now repeats, because he sees something applicable to the people of God in the New Testament. And if it is applicable to them, it is applicable to us. Maaari nating gamitin para sa atin itong prinsipyo na sinasabi rito. And let me put it in this message. God's faithfulness is proven by his provision to challenge Christian contentment. Ang katapatan ng Diyos ay pinapatunayan ng kanyang mga ipinagkakaloob upang hamunin ang pagkakontentong Kristiyano. So God's faithfulness is proven when we ask the question and we confess God is faithful. Last week we said we seek that faithfulness in his mercies. But one other thing that is a proof of the faithfulness of God is his provision. And that provision challenges Christian contentment. Now again, it would be easy to assume that the writer is saying this to people who are well provided. And that will be a wrong assumption. Maaring isipin natin, sinasabi siguro ito ng sumulat sa Hebreo doon sa mga taong maayos ang kalagayan. Siguro'y wala silang masyadong pangangailangan, ika nga'y well-provided. Eh, hindi po totoo yun. Isang kalagayan ng mga taga-Hebreo na sinusulatan ng may akda ay yung kanyang sinabi in chapter 10:34, he commends them, quote, "You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods." Now, that's the condition of these people who were receiving this promise from the writer. They were persecuted, and one form of persecution was that their goods were being plundered. Eh, inaagaw, kinukumpiska yung kanilang mga ari-arian. Ngunit para sa kanila, sinabi ng may akda na ang katapatan ng Diyos nakikita ninyo sa kanyang masaganang provision, sa kanyang mga ipinagkakaloob. And if that is true of these people, can you say that of your 2010? All that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. It is not in time of plenty and prosperity that we are challenged to see this. The greater challenge is in time of scarcity. Hindi sa panahon ng kasaganaan, hindi sa panahon ng prosperidad, si pinapanghawakan sa atin ang ganitong pangako, kundi doon nga sa panahon ng pagkahikahos, sa panahon na tila tayo nawawalan, doon mo dapat panghawakan ang pangakong ito na hindi ka pababayaan ng Diyos. Ang Diyos ay tapat sa kanyang pagkakaloob sa tuwi-tuwi na sa ating mga pangangailangan. I want to say three things concerning God's provisions that are clearly argued in our text. First of all, God's provisions are based on covenantal promise. Ang kanyang pagkakaloob ay batay sa pangako ng tipan. God's provisions are based on covenantal promise. Secondly, God's provisions are sought by effectual prayer. Ang pinagkakaloob ng Diyos ay ipinapahanap sa pamamagitan ng mabisang pananalangin. God's provisions are sought by effectual prayer. And thirdly, God's provisions are meant for spiritual progress. Ang mga pinagkakaloob ng Diyos ay para sa ating pagsulong, pag-unlad ng pang-espiritu. God's provisions are meant for our spiritual progress. So let us try to understand how we see the provisions of God as proof of His faithfulness. Paano natin mapapatunayan ang katapatan ng Diyos sa mga provision niya, sa kanyang mga ipinagkakaloob sa atin? Unang-una, dapat nating makitang ibinabatay niya ito sa kanyang pangako ayon sa tipan. It is based on covenantal promise. We see this in the word of God to Joshua. Yahweh will prove faithful to His word to Moses, and the covenant with Moses is now restated to Joshua in these words. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses. Itong sinabi niya kay Joshua na ang bawat lupa, bawat lugar ng lupain na iyong tatapakan ay ibinigay ko sa iyo gaya ng aking salita kay Moises. Yan ang tipan kay Moises na hindi tatalikuran ng Diyos. Ngunit dito nga po ay mag-ingat tayo. We must be careful not to reproduce in its exact proviso what it means in the New Testament. Because God's covenant promise to us is not a land. It's not a piece of land. It's not that of harvest in the land. It is not by conquest of the land. What is the promise that God has given to His people, which is covenant-based? Well, again, the line of our song captures it so perfectly. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. The New Testament promise that applies to believers is God's provision for all true needs of the saints. Ayan po ang mapagtitindigan nating pangako niya. Ang pangako niya na nakabatay sa bagong tipan ay kanyang ipagkakaloob ang lahat ng totoong kailangan ng kanyang mga anak. God will provide all true needs of His saints. In the New Testament, it's not territory of land, not harvest. Beware of any prosperity gospel today that will tell you it is God's will for you to be rich, and if you are not rich, it is because you're lacking in faith. That is trash. That is not Bible. But having said that, this is what we can hold fast as much of God's promise. What did God promise His New Testament saints in terms of provision? Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's a promise. He will supply. What will God supply? All your need. Ipagkakaloob ng Diyos. Anong ipagkakaloob ng Diyos? Lahat ninyong pangangailangan. At ang nakasalalay dito, ang sabi ni Pablo ay ang kanyang buong kaluwalhatian na nakay Kristo Jesus. Sa palagay ba ninyo ay ikokompromiso ng Diyos ang kanyang kaluwalhatian? Sa palagay ba ninyo, ipuputulin ng Diyos ang kanyang ugnayan kay Kristo? Ngunit ito ang sinasabi niya na sa kanyang ugnayan kay Kristo at ayon sa kanyang kaluwalhatian, hindi siya tatalikod sa pangakong ito na kung merong pangangailangan ay kanyang ipagkakaloob. Or listen to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things." So what did God promise concerning all things? Sufficiency. And when you say sufficiency, it pertains to needs. That's what God promised. That's what you can hold on to. That is what you can exercise your faith upon, that God has promised provision for all that we need. Now, sometimes I hear it stated like this, that what God provides is what we need. Now, I cannot agree, for God often provides beyond and above our needs. And I'm sure many of you this year, 2010, can say that you are provided for even beyond your needs. So it is not true that God only provides our needs. But what we can say is that if you truly need, God will provide. If God is not providing, you don't need. That's the implication of what we're trying to say here. God did not promise prosperity, He promised sufficiency. God did not promise abundance, He promised that all that we need shall be provided for. Ayan ang ating panghawakan na pangako ng Diyos. However, it means something for us. It is not for us to define for God what it is we truly need. Hindi tayo ang magsasabi sa Diyos, baka nalilimutan niya o baka babala siya, "Eto Panginoon, paalala, itong kailangan ko." Hindi tayo magsasabi noon. This is where humility is demanded. Humility demands that we let God define our need for our time and for our situation. I'm sure you have heard of the news. International diplomacy is in disarray, in grave embarrassment, because of this Australian named Julian Assange, who thinks he should define the need of the world to know. That the world should know whatever it is he can provide knowledge about, even though it may compromise safety, compromise secrets. He doesn't care. And to me, that's arrogance of the highest order. I don't know about today, but in my past, it's called treachery. And in far bygone days, a man who did that would be hanged. But today, because of technology, it's being done playfully. Well, don't define for yourself. Leave it to God. Now, this is where the challenge of Christian contentment comes in. What is Christian contentment? Christian contentment has in it always the element of trust in the wisdom of God. Pag sinabi natin pagkakontento, kasama palagi rin yung pagtiwalaan mo ang karunungan ng Diyos. Na siya ang nakakaalam ng talagang iyong pangangailangan. That the wisdom of God means, as far as our need is concerned, God knows what, God knows when, God knows how, and then we submit. There are those who protest that such contentment is the virtue for the oppressed, Whereas discontent is the protest of the revolutionary who will not accept their oppressed lot. And I object. I dare say that Christian contentment is the more revolutionary than discontent. Discontent is selfish. It is the protest of complaint, of blame, and of envy. Its plea, the plea of discontent, is always more. And is that not what is breaking up our society today? PAL employees are threatening a strike even though their salary is manifold times more than ordinary laborers. But who cares about the inconvenience on passengers? We want more. State universities and colleges, all 111 of them, most of which have nothing to show, and yet they protest and say more. That's what discontent does. We have the language of contentment in our text. What is the language of contentment? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. It doesn't say, this is what I need and that is what I need. When will it come? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Contentment resolves. I will not be robbed of my joy just because I have less than others. I resolve to be happy with the lot that I have now and that I cannot change, leaving to God what happens next. That's revolutionary. The man who will not be defined by his circumstances. So what has been your 2010 like in terms of provision? Is it possible the Lord is not giving you more but teaching you to redefine need? Baka hindi ka binibigyan nga ng Panginoon ng mas masagana, pero ang itinuturo sa iyo ay baguhin mo ang iniisip mong kailangan. Baka yan ang itinuturo sa atin ngayong taon. And for as long as we insist on our definition of need more than what God allots, we will fail to see the faithfulness of God. There will be little joy in the Christian life, little joy in worship, no delight in His Word. The author of the song Great is Thy Faithfulness was a Methodist pastor named Thomas Chisholm. Shortly before his death in 1960, he wrote this testimony, and I quote, "My income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me on until now. But I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that He has given me many wonderful displays of His providing care, which have filled me with astonishing gratitude." This is a man who, by his confession, did not have much income, but he saw the faithfulness of God. Are we seeing the faithfulness of God by the fulfillment of His promises, the promise to provide for our need this year, 2010? Secondly, God's provisions are sought by effectual prayer. Ang mga pinagkakaloob ng Diyos ay ipinapahanap sa atin sa mabisang pananalangin. And we find that in Psalm 118, this praise to the mercy of God or the faithfulness of God is in the context of calling upon the Lord. Psalm 118 says, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place." Here we learn that the Lord permits situations to become distressful for the saints so that he may learn to call upon God. And sometimes this is the lesson that needs teaching and teaching and teaching again to all of us. But we need the lesson as simple as prayer. Kailangan natin yung patuloy na pangangaral, pagtuturo ng panalangin. And one thing that we should learn here in the arrangement of God's provision is that God delights to provide in answer to the prayers of His saints. Nagagalak ang Diyos na magkaloob bilang sagot sa panalangin. Oo, sa Kanyang kahabagan, nagkakaloob Siya madalas kahit hindi natin ipinapanalangin. Ngunit yung Kanyang tugon sa ating panalangin ay dala ng Kanyang kagalakan na tugunin yung ating ipinapanalangin sa Kanya. This is clear in Scripture. James 4:2 is something we love to quote. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We are so familiar with this and yet many times taken for granted. Two things wrong often in our prayers. Silent, that is muted, or selfish. Yung dalawang bagay na mali sa panalangin, walang panalangin, o makasariling pananalangin. And that's what we are told here. If your bank account, for example, is replenished with cash, what do? Well, you must go to the ATM machine and get your cash. If you provide the wrong PIN, you don't get it. Well, what God is asking us is go to Him, pray, but with the right motive. And He delights to answer that. And here is the challenge of Christian contentment. Christian contentment has in it the element of peace gained in the posture of prayer. Ang tunay na Kristiyanong pagkakontento ay may kasamang kapayapaan na galing sa postura ng pananalangin. The opposite of contentment, according to the writer of Hebrews, is what? Covetousness. And in fact, the word used is not the ordinary word for covetousness in other New Testament texts. In Hebrews 13:5, covetousness there should be translated lovers of money. Christians should not be lovers of money. Ah, money. Isn't that always the solution for everything today? Do we not say, if only I have the money? And it enters into our daily computation and calculation. It defines our regrets and disappointments. It is a measure of value for almost anything. We ask, is there money in it? What do I get? How much do I get in return? And it is that money calculating value that is robbing us of peace due to discontent. No peace of the soul. And where is peace? That same old-fashioned memory verse we all love, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a favor. Peace is accessible. A lot of people today suffer from stress and they try therapy, psychiatric counseling, and many other forms. To the Christian, peace is so accessible through prayer. A prayer that is thankful. With thanksgiving. What is this year like in terms of your supplication and requests made known to God? One of the greatest masterpieces of Puritan literature, and there are many, but one of the greatest, one that has been so influential to me in my young Christian life, was that by Jeremiah Burroughs. And the title of the book is The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. He has a chapter there on the mystery of Christian contentment. And he makes a list of what makes Christian contentment mysterious to many. He has 15 in all. Let me read to you a part of the 15th mystery of contentment. A godly man has contentment by opening and letting out his heart to God. Other men or women are discontented. But how do they help themselves? By abuse, by bad language. Someone crosses them and they have no way to help themselves but by abuse and by bitter words. And so they relieve themselves in what way? In that way when they are angry. But when a godly man is crossed, how does he relieve himself? He is aware of his cross as well as you, but he goes to God in prayer. And there opens his heart to God and lets out his sorrows and fears, and then can come away with a joyful countenance. Do you not find that you can come away from prayer and not look sad? And you almost imagine this man must be writing 21st century. No, 17th century. And the lesson remains perpetual today. Pray to God. Pray with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. And then there's that peace, which is not the result of Prozac or therapy, but the peace that passes understanding. Let me close briefly with a third point. God's provisions are meant for spiritual progress. Ang mga pinagkakaloob ng Diyos ay para sa ating spiritual na paglago. The writer points his finger to these concerns of grace, contentment, and concerns of sin, covetousness. So in other words, to him, the framework is much larger or much wider than just what you need in terms of money or material things. The issue is grace and sin. The use of God's faithful provisions, in other words, is to help the believer in his progress of holiness. And this is where we differ with materialism and prosperity gospel. Our concern should be sanctification. And may I say, without meaning to be insensitive to those of you who may be experiencing scarcity, this may explain periods of scarcity when God knows that the moment you prosper, you will imperil your soul. Isang nagpapaliwanag ng pagkahikahos kung minsan ay kilala ka ng Diyos. Alam ng Diyos ang maaring panganib at peligro na dalhin sa iyo ng prosperidad. At sa kanyang kahabagan at katapatan, pinipigil niya ang lumabis na dumating sa iyo upang huwag kang ilagay sa peligro. I remember years ago in our congregation when a child of a couple members swallowed a coin. And he needed surgery. Well, sometimes that's the effect of wealth on us. It's like swallowing a coin that you will need surgery. And God in His mercy restrains. Not because He's insensitive, but His sensitivity goes deeper than your material need. He is concerned about your soul. So my challenge on Christian contentment is that contentment has for its priority the concerns of our personal graces and sins. Covetousness will have for its agenda material substance, financial status, as I've said, to have more. Covetousness has that agenda always, more. How are you ending this year in terms of graces cultivated and sins mortified? I told you about Jeremiah Burroughs. When there was persecution, those who were considered nonconformists, those who were not conforming to the state religion of the Church of England, were booted out of their parishes, of their pastorates. Jeremiah Burroughs decided to give up on his livelihood rather than conform his conscience to the established church. Now that's the man who knew how to teach contentment because he suffered for it. So this is the challenge, brethren. How are we in terms of our spiritual progress? It was said of the church in Thyatira, at least the commendation part, God said, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and the last are more than the first. Well, we are going to the last days of 2010. Can you say that your graces are more than when 2010 began? Are you growing as a Christian? Maybe you are becoming concerned or occupied with your income and bank book or credit card and replenishment on your financial need, and God is sensitive to those things. Except that we're saying God is more concerned about your spiritual progress. Let us then learn to confess this year, 2010. God has been faithful to me. God has been faithful to us. And just as we read in the scripture reading in this service, not one word failed of the promises of God. Can we also say, not one need of this year did God fail to provide? May that be our confession as we sing our last hymn. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. It says that, verse 2, He is my refuge in each deep distress, the Lord, my strength and glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames, He leads me safely on, and daily, and may we mean it, daily, makes His sovereign goodness known. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na sana'y masabi namin ng buong sinseridad mula sa aming puso that all that we have needed, Thy hand has provided. Tunay ngang pinapatunayan mo ang iyong pangako na pinagbulayan namin ngayon that You will never leave us nor forsake us, that the Lord is our helper, whom shall I fear? And yet, this is a day-to-day challenge for many of us, for we do feel the scarcity. Nararamdaman namin ang mga pagkahikahos, ang pangangailangan. Kung minsan ay natataranta kami sa dapat pagkunan para sa mga dapat matustusan sa aming pang-araw-araw. Ngunit sa kabila ng mga bagay na ito, huwag nawang mapalampas sa amin ang sari-saring anyo ng iyong pagkakaloob, ng iyong katapatan. And this is in fulfillment of Your covenantal promise. And Your promise is not that of abundance, not prosperity. Your promise is that You will provide for all our true need. And it calls upon us that contentment that learns to trust in Your wisdom, that You know better what is our need, when to provide it, and how to provide it. May we learn to submit rather than give ourselves to the carking cry of covetousness, which is more and more. Grant us that quietude of the soul that is able to exercise peace in the posture of prayer. And grant that we may have the same priority as You have for us, not our material prosperity, but our spiritual progress. Grant that every provision that we receive may lead to thankfulness, to a quiet and peaceful spirit, and trust in Your care and wisdom. And may we say with sincerity that we will end this year 2010 truly, all that we have needed, Thy hand hath provided. In Jesus' name we pray all these things with thanksgiving. Amen.